West Texas, and he pastored in New Mexico. And we've just, we're so thankful that through the years, because of our stands, where what we believe, our convictions, God has put us together, amen, many different places. He's been here before, but it's been a long time. But we're so honored that he is here with us today, and also this weekend, that he's committed to be with us. Brother Franks, I want to say this. I appreciate you, what you've lived through the years, your consistency, your faithfulness, and you've held up the testimony. Thank you for being a great example of a believer, and we're so thankful tonight for truth in your life. Would you stay in church? I want him to come. Amen. Let's obey the Lord tonight in this service. Amen. Let's listen to the man of God, what God has for us in the Spirit of the Lord.
Praise the Lord, everyone. Amen. It's good to be in the house of the Lord. I came a long way to be in church tonight. Hallelujah. Over 3 hours I drove here. Amen. And anybody drove any further today, then man, I admire you. Amen. It is good to be with Pastor and Sister Crosswhite. We love and appreciate them. As he said, known each other for a little while, a few years. Amen. That means, says something, we're getting older. At least I am. He don't look like he's getting, he looks the same as he did 30 years ago. Amen. He said something about, well, there's going to be a lot of folks that are not here for whatever reason. I tell you why they're not here. They saw that picture on that sign out there, and it scared them off. Amen. Maybe better take that down before the weekend. Amen. No, I'm thankful to be here. I'm sorry that my wife could not come. She would have if if I'd have just put the pressure on her, I'm sure. But I knew she wasn't feeling well last night and today. And I told her, you just take a little rest. I'm going to drive over there, and we're going to have church, and I'll try to make it without you. And I hadn't done that very many times. Most of the time when I go anywhere, she does go with me, but I let her off the hook. Y'all can tell her that I said that when you see her Sunday. Praise God. Amen. I love the Lord. I give honor to the Lord Jesus Christ. He is the best thing that ever happened to me. Amen. And it is so good to see Brother and Sister Savala. Amen. Now, I haven't seen her in a long time. It's been a while. I think the last time I saw her was at West Coast Conference a few years back. I think she was there. And seen him several places, good friends. They came and preached for us when we were in Portales, New Mexico, 25 years ago, something like that. So known him almost as long as I've known you, not quite, but amen, it's good to see them. I am going to do my best to be faithful to what the Lord led me to preach tonight, and I hope somebody will help me for a few minutes. I don't preach long. Amen. I don't preach but an hour or two when I preach, so y'all don't have to worry. We're not going to be here to midnight. No, I'm kidding. Don't preach that long. Praise God. I'm an evangelist, by the way. Amen. Evangelist. Evangelist's not supposed to preach long, they said, right? Amen. I don't know. Maybe Brother Savala would change that, but I had one pastor tell me that I was his favorite preacher. Because I knew when to quit. Amen. Well, I hope I still know when to quit. I'm going to read in the 13th chapter of 2 Kings. If you would turn there, I'm just going to read one verse of scripture right now. And that is verse number 14. Excuse me. Verse 14, it says, now Elisha was fallen sick of his sickness, whereof he died. And Joash, the king of Israel, came down unto him and wept over his face and said, oh, my father, the chariot of Israel and the horsemen thereof. Amen. You may be seated. Amen. I want to just preach a little while from this verse of scripture as a beginning point. I'll get back to it in a little bit, but I'm really going to kind of go far afield for a little while. And you might think, no way I can get back to there, but I'm going to do my best to. And I know everybody has heard of Elisha. Elisha was a man of God. He was a prophet of God. He was a prophet that we read about him and all the things he did. And if you're not amazed by that, it's because you don't believe it. Amen? Because if you believe what you read, then there should be some amazement that all of this happened in one man's life. Amen. One man did many miracles in the name of the Lord. He was not just performing them for himself or for people to say, wow. That wasn't what he did them for. He did them that God might be glorified, that people's attention would go to the Lord God of Israel and realize there was a God in Israel. In fact, there's some of them that some places we read where he said that they need to see that there is a Lord God. Amen. There really is a Lord. Amen. And I believe today there's a lot of people still need to see that there is a Lord. Amen. That's the reason why we opened the doors of the church tonight. Amen. That's the reason why there's preachers that are preaching this message not only here but all across the world even tonight. Amen. Because we want people to see and know that there is a God. Amen. There is a God that's concerned about everything that's going on in our lives. Amen. He's concerned about his people. Amen. And now, Elisha, we read this particular story, and we see here was a king that came in to see him, and this king was moved by what he saw. He saw that Elisha was sick. He saw that Elisha, evidently, it looked as if he was just about to die. And he looked at him and he said, of him, he said, my father, as he wept in his face, the horsemen, the chariots of Israel and the horsemen thereof. Amen. Now, Elisha caused him to do something in the next few moments, and I'll talk about that, but I don't know what happened in that particular moment because I wasn't there, except that I know that there was probably that thought that went in his mind of where God had brought him from and did in his life. Because see, he wasn't a prophet always. Amen. There was a day when he was just out in the field and plowing with his oxen and going about his everyday business to just keep body and soul together, if you please. Amen. Just working a job, so to speak. Amen. It may have been a little different job than some of us do today. I don't know if there's anybody out in the field plowing today anymore. Not probably too many. If you are, it's with electric motorized plow. But he was out there working with his oxen. And a prophet of God came by and threw his mantle over the shoulders of Elisha and just kept on his merry way. He didn't say, you need to come follow me or nothing. He just kept on going down the road. But I believe that Elisha recognized who it was. Maybe I don't know where he had seen him or what it was that caused him to know that this was the prophet Elijah. Although he probably had got a reputation, a pretty good reputation at that time of someone who was notable. And so we read that went after him. And when Elijah looked back, he said, what are you doing? What have I done to you? I hadn't done anything. He said, just wait just a moment. I'm going back. I'm going to kill my oxen. I'm going to cut up my plows. I'm going to have a barbecue. Amen. That's the end. I'm not going back to that job. I'm going to follow you wherever you go. And that was his mindset. You see, he had heard about what Elijah had done one day when he walked in front of the king of Israel, Ahab, and stuck his finger in his face. Amen. And said, it's not going to rain until I say it's going to rain. Amen. The reason it's not going to rain is because of what you've done to Israel. Because of all the things you've caused the people of God to transgress the law. And it's not going to rain. Now, we know that the Bible tells us in the book of James, chapter number 5, that Elijah was a man subject to like passion as we are. And he prayed earnestly that it rain not. And it didn't rain for the space of 3.5 years. And it prayed again, and it rained. Now, I don't know. I don't believe that there was that kind of communication that went throughout the land of Israel quickly. But somewhere along the line, he probably heard that story about what Elijah had done. He probably heard the story how God fed that man of God at a brook Kidron with ravens, if you please. Of all things, ravens are not birds that's going to bring food to people. They're going to eat all the food. But they brought him food. As long as there was water in that brook, they brought him food. When the water ran out, he probably somewhere had heard the story how the man of God was told by the Lord, go down, amen, to that widow. Hallelujah. Go down to that widow of Sarepta, and there's going to be a woman there that I have commanded to feed you. I've commanded her to feed you. Amen. Heard about how he walked up to her, perhaps the story, how he told her, would you just get me some water? Okay, I'll get you some water. And as she turned to go, he said, and bake me a little cake too. Now, she was just going to, as according to her own words, I don't have but a little oil. Just got a little meal. I was going to bake a cake for me and my son, and we were going to die. That's what the Bible tells us. But God had commanded her, and she said, nevertheless, I'll do it. Amen. Because you asked me to, I'll go and do it. He knew the story of how the oil never ran out. The meal barrel never run empty. Amen. As long as there was a famine in the land, as long as the rain didn't come, it stayed there. Why? Because the prophet of God had a relationship with the Lord. Hallelujah. He got it with prayer. I said he got it with prayer. I don't know how long he prayed, amen, for it not to rain, but he had heard the story. Hallelujah. And I'm about to get on another message, but he had heard the story, amen, quoted to him from Deuteronomy, where God said, if my people turn away from me, if my people transgress my law, they turn to following other gods, I'm going to cause it where there's no rain that's going to fall. Amen. The dust is going to be dry. Amen. It's going to be like, it's going to be like iron. Hallelujah. They're not going to get anything out of it. But you know what? It had never happened. But Elijah started praying. I said, Elijah started praying. Elijah said, God, I want you to do this. And God said, I'll listen to you, Elijah. I'm going to do what you ask. Hallelujah. And there was other miracles that took place. This woman son that was spared because of the oil and the meal died. She came to Elijah and said, now, why is this happening? What's going on? I'm paraphrasing. Hey, amen. You didn't have to, I didn't have to cook that meal for you. You didn't have to do what you've done and provide the meal for us. But hey, amen, what are you going to do now? As good as said. Now what you going to do? Amen. And he caused that son to come back to life. Amen. By the word of God. Because God used him to cause this to happen. Amen. Hallelujah. We also know that there came a day that God spoke to him and said, go show yourself to Ahab. Because I'm going to send rain. But he wasn't going to do it to the man of God. Amen. Prayed again. That's right. He wasn't going to do it. God was going to use that man. God was going to use Elijah, amen, to do his work. Before the day was over, 400 prophets of Baal lay dead on the ground. 450 prophets of the grove had died. Fire had fallen from heaven and consumed the sacrifice at the words of Elijah. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Rain was brought. Amen. Before he left that mountaintop, he had got an answer from God. Amen. A cloud like a man's hand. After he had prayed on the seventh time, he said, you better get down to your home. You better get to the city of Jezreel because I hear the sound of abundance of rain. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. You know why? There was a prophet of God. There was a man of God that all he cared about was doing the will of God. Doing the will of God. Amen. No matter who he made mad, no matter who looked at him and said, why are you doing that? I'm going to do it because it's the will of God. This is what God wants to happen. Amen. He performed in his lifetime seven miracles that the Bible talks about. Seven particular miracles. The last one was after he had called Elisha. And Elisha started following after him. And started closely following him. Amen. There was a time he said, just go back home. Just go back home. It's time to stop following me so close. Amen. It's almost time for me to leave. Amen. The sons of the prophet said, don't you know your master's fixing to be taken away? I don't care. I'm going to follow him. I'm staying right there. This is what I was called to do. This is what God wants me to do. Amen. I wish people today, when God reached out and called their name, amen, they'd keep on following him. I wish they'd keep on walking close to him. Hallelujah. I wish they wouldn't turn aside to the right hand or to the left hand. They have their mind made up. I'm going to live for God. I'm going to serve God. I don't care what anybody else does, but I'm going to serve God because he brought me out of darkness into this marvelous light. He picked me up out of the miry clay. Hallelujah. He put his name on me. Hallelujah. Oh, yes. Amen. And he kept on. Elisha just kept on following the man of God. He kept on doing the will of God. Amen. They came to the river of Jordan. Amen. And he asked, when he got there close, he said, amen, now, what do you want, Elisha? What do you want me to do for you? He said, I want to have a double portion of your spirit. Yes. Yes. Amen. I tell you, when you ask for something like that, then you're saying, I'm going to follow close. I'm going to walk with God. I'm going to do the things that God wants me to do. I'm not going to veer to the right or left. I'm going to keep on following God. Elijah said, you ask a hard thing. But if you see me when I go away, hallelujah, you're going to get your request. He got that mantle that he had that he had one time threw on Elisha. He smote the waters of the rivers of Jordan and the waters parted and they walked across on dry ground. Amen. After he went a little bit further, amen, all of a sudden there came down from heaven, hallelujah, a chariot of fire. Amen. He was caught up in a whirlwind in that chariot of fire. And as he went away, Elisha had his eyes on him. I'm not going to miss this. I'm not going to let this get away from me. I've got it. I know what's happening here. Amen. And that a mantle from Elijah came floating back down to the ground. He picked it up. Hallelujah. And the Bible tells us, amen, that he looked at the heavens. He saw that and he said, my father, the chariot of Israel and the horsemen thereof. Hallelujah. And he took up his own clothes and they rent in two pieces. But he walked back to the river of Jordan and he smote the waters. And he said, where is the Lord God of Elijah? And the waters parted and he walked across. Man, and that started a time and a day where he began to work the work of God, do the will of God for the next few years. I don't know how long exactly it was, but he followed God. He walked with God. And the scripture lets us understand, and we see and read of at least 13 miracles that he had done. Right. As of that day when that king walked in there. 13 miracles had been accomplished. Amen. Not quite twice as many yet. He hadn't got there yet. Amen. Hallelujah. I'm going to go ahead and tell you, before that chapter was over, though, we read where that prophet of God did die. Amen. And they put him in the ground in a tomb. Amen. And as a group of soldiers battling out, walked by, one of their comrades had been killed, and they said they were running from the enemy, and they threw that comrade down into the grave of Elijah. And when his bones hit the bones of Elisha, he came up out of there, started running after them. Hallelujah. Wait on me. I'm not dead. I'm alive. Hallelujah. Why did that happen? Because there was a man that says, I'm going to follow God hard. I'm going to follow God with all of my heart. I'm going to live for God with all of my soul, my mind, my strength. Hallelujah. I'm going to love the Lord just like he asked for us to. Hallelujah.
Amen.
So here we're here at the end of his life. We're back in that chapter where I read. Amen. And here was those same words spoken. They are spoken again by a wicked king. Joash was a wicked king. He hadn't served God at all. But you know what? When he walked in that room of Elisha and he saw him and he wept and he spoke those same words that Elisha had spoken. Amen. When Elijah was taken away. My father, the chariot of Israel and the horsemen thereof. Hey, you read your Bible and you'll find that that was never spoken before or after. Only those two times. What must have ran through the mind of Elisha? He was about to die. Oh, something's happening here. Amen. Surely, amen. He spoke this. This is a sign. He's gonna serve God. He's gonna live for God. He's gonna take up the mantle. Probably that could have been what was crossing his mind. Because he said, hey, this is what I want you to do, King. Why else would he do this? He said, I want you to take some arrows. Get this bow and arrow. And he said, I'm going to put my hand on your hand. I want you to shoot that arrow. Amen. He shot the arrow. And he said, the arrow of the Lord's deliverance. And the arrow of deliverance from Syria. For thou shalt smite the Syrians in effect till thou have consumed them. You're going to get complete victory here. Amen. That's what the prophet was seeing. Amen. He was seeing someone that had that. He thought, hey, he's got the same intensity I've got. He's got the same spirit I've got. It doesn't matter what he's done in the past. Doesn't matter how bad he's been. Amen. There's got to be something going on here. There's got to be something happening here. Amen. Could it have been that he saw this and said, finally, I found somebody. Finally, there's somebody, amen, that's going to take up the mantle. Because we know that he had a servant by the name of Gehazi. Gehazi was his servant. Gehazi was carrying the water. Gehazi was there with him when the miracles took place. Oh, yes, he was. Because we read a few chapters before that where he was sitting in the presence of the king and began to tell him of the things that Elisha had accomplished for the Lord. Oh yeah, hallelujah. Surely this is the one. He must have thought when Gehazi came on the scene, I found me somebody that's going to walk with God like I walk with God, that's going to follow me like I followed Elijah. Amen. Maybe I don't know all that was going. That's the only reason I could think of that he would do what he did for this king who was so wicked. Amen. Even though you've been wicked, God wants to give you deliverance. Hallelujah. Just like he gave us deliverance. Even though we were without hope, he gave us hope. When we were without any help, he gave us the help we needed. Hallelujah. Amen. And I'm preaching to people tonight that God is just looking at us. Amen. He saw us, amen, when we didn't have any hope. He saw us when there was no help around. And we turned to him. We reached out to him. We called on his name because he began to move in our lives, began to draw us. All right? Everybody hear what I'm saying? Amen. Everybody understand that that's what God is looking for when he calls you. He's not looking for somebody to just come and sit on the pew and do nothing. He's not looking for somebody that's just going to say, well, I got the Holy Ghost, so I'm all right. I don't need nothing else. Amen. No. Hallelujah. When he called us, he was looking for somebody. Somebody like Elisha must have been looking for somebody. All his life looking for somebody. But Gehazi failed the test. We know that he went and requested some garments of nice clothes from Naaman. Some silver from Naaman. When Elijah had said, no, we don't want anything. We don't do it for that. That's not the reason why we're doing what we're doing. But Gehazi got it. When he came back, he lied to the man of God. Where you been? I ain't been nowhere. Nowhere. I ain't done nothing. I haven't done anything. Not me. Who you looking at? And Elisha said, my spirit went with you. I know what you did. He said, from this day forward, you're going to have leprosy in your body. Oh, your household's going to have leprosy. It's going to happen. So that ended that with Gehazi. Maybe he was, when he fulfilled what God had told Elijah to do, to go and anoint Jehu as king over the land of Israel and destroy all the house of Jezebel. Maybe when he saw him go about it with all of his heart, with everything that was in him, maybe there was something in him said, all right, here's one. Amen. He got that anointing on him. He's going to be the one that I've been looking for all this time, that's going to follow in my footsteps, that's going to do miracles for God. Jehu, the Bible tells us, after he had done all of that he should have done, killing all the house of Ahab, Jezebel, the Bible tells us that he caused Israel to sin just like Jeroboam caused them to sin. He didn't change his ways. So here he was, just about to die, just about through. Amen. Shoot the arrow. Amen. Then he said, get the arrow and strike on the ground. Strike on the ground. Amen. He wanted to see what he was going to do. He smote the ground 3 times and he stayed. That's all he did. And the Bible said the man of God was wroth. I tell you, he was probably more than just wroth. He was probably a little disappointed here. I just thought for sure, here's somebody going to do the will of God. He told him, he said, you should have smote it. You should have did it at least 5 or 6 times. At least 5 or 6 times. But because you only did it 3 times, there wasn't no intensity. There was no dedication. There was no commitment. There was no, amen, desire to do what God wanted done to the Syrians to get you the victory that he wanted to give you. Hallelujah. He said, because of that, you're just going to smite the Syrians 3 times. And then they're going to take you. They're going to destroy you. Amen. Hallelujah. Now, all of this is not just a story for us to look at and talk about and say, wow, look at that. Man, that was something else. I want to preach to just for a few more minutes, not long. Amen. God is still looking for someone. Someone to get that kind of spirit that says, I don't want to just be another saint in the church. Amen. Although I want to be a part of the church, I don't want to just be somebody that comes on faithfully on Thursday night, comes faithfully to prayer meeting on Tuesday night, or comes faithfully Sunday morning, Sunday night. I want to be somebody, hallelujah, that's going to give it everything I've got. Amen. Because just like God was looking for that, hallelujah, when he told him, amen, the first commandment, hear, O Israel, the Lord our God is one Lord, hallelujah, and thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, with all thy soul, with all thy might. Hallelujah. Jesus took it a little bit further. Hallelujah. And he was the author of all of it, so he could change the scripture. He said, thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, all thy soul, all thy might, all thy strength. Hallelujah. That's what God is still looking for today. Some people that's really willing to go beyond the norm, go beyond the expected, go beyond what everybody else has told you to do, and say, I'm going to do more than I've ever done. I've got my mind made up. I'm going to be used of God if nobody else is. Hallelujah. You say, well, it's wrong to want that. It wasn't wrong for Elisha to say, give me a double portion. I want a double portion. Hallelujah. Oh, yes, our motives have got to be right. But I'm telling you, I'm not worried about the motive. I'm not worried about what, hey, man, somebody's going to say about you or me, anybody else. I just want to do it with everything I've got. Hallelujah. I want to be somebody that God will look at and know, hallelujah, that I'm going to be faithful. Hallelujah. The music would come. Hallelujah. Oh, yes. Oh, yes. We can just come to church and we can just lift our hands nominally. We can just go through the motions. Hallelujah. And we'll be happy you're here. We'll be happy you came. We'll be glad that we saw your face. Amen. That hasn't done anything for you. That hasn't accomplished anything in your life. That's not what we're looking for. Amen. Just like that man of God. He was looking for somebody. His heart leapt within him. I believe that. The Bible doesn't talk about it, but I just know in my spirit, he remembered what he said. He remembered what happened to him. Could this be happening to Joash? Hallelujah. How many times, and I thought about this as I was praying. How many times, Pastor Cross White, have you preached this word of God over this pulpit? How many times have you seen people come to an altar and repent of their sins? Get baptized in Jesus' name and get the Holy Ghost. Hallelujah. I would dare say enough times that if they were all here tonight, this building wouldn't hold them. Man, it wouldn't hold them. Even we put out more chairs, it wouldn't hold them. Amen. What causes that to happen? Most of the time it's because they never get a desire after God. They never get that burning within inside of them. Or else something comes along and destroys their confidence. Man, hey, that's what the devil likes to do. I said, that's what the devil likes to do. He's constantly walking about looking for somebody to devour. I know you're here tonight. I know I'm preaching to people here. You're here on a Thursday night, and you, chances are I haven't been here before on a Thursday night, and it's been a lot of years since I was here any other time. I'm sure you've been here most of the time, and you got it in your heart. But they did too. I said they did too at one time. Man, but something started shifting, started moving. I'm preaching to us tonight. I don't want it to start shifting. I don't want it to start moving away. Amen. Maybe that little glimmer that Jehu showed, that Gehazi showed, that Joash showed, was the same kind of thing that Pastor Crosswhite, amen, Brother Sabala, when he preaches, and I preach the Word of God. I've been preaching for 48 years this gospel. I've had the Holy Ghost for 60 years. And I've seen a lot of people walk through the doors of the church. Amen. I've seen a lot of them that they were on fire for God. Oh, yeah. It looked like they was going to be the one. Hallelujah. They was going to be the one that was going to do more than anybody else. But that zeal didn't last. How is your zeal tonight? What kind of zeal do you have? Is there anybody here that has the zeal burning inside of you? Oh, I want to do everything for God that I can. Hallelujah. Pastor, what can I do? Pastor, show me what I need to do. Tell me what I need to do. Show me what I need to do. Tell me what I need to do. Hallelujah. Is there something that the pastor has saw it in your heart, in your spirit, and thought, oh, look what they're going to do for God? Hey, I've been preaching a long time, as I said, and there's been a few times I have to admit I probably missed it, but I had missed it tonight. God wants to help somebody. God is talking to somebody in this place. I feel the Holy Ghost. I feel the Spirit of God moving. Hallelujah. In your heart, there's something inside of you that's saying, oh, I'm not going to get stagnate. I'm not going to get cold in my spirit. I'm not going to get indifferent to this. Hallelujah. I want something to happen in me. Hallelujah. Come on. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. I invite everybody, if you would, why don't you take a step out of where you're at, or find a place and talk to God and tell the Lord, Lord, I've got my mind made up. I'm going to do it. I'm going to do it. I'm going to do it. Hallelujah. Hallelujah.
I will be.
Oh,
what
yes,
you've
Jesus.
Called me to
That's
be.
What I want to do, God.
I'll say yes.
Oh, yes, Lord.
Lord,
I don't want to just be stirred, Lord. I want to be changed. Yes. I want to be changed into what you want me to be, God.
Is to be what you've called me to be. That's what I'll be. I will be what you've called me to be. I'll say yes. Lord, I agree. My desire passionately is to be what you've called me to be. That's what I'll be. I will be what you've called me to be. I'll say yes. Lord, I agree. My desire passionately is to be what you've called me to be. that's what I'll be. I will be what you've called me to be. I'll say yes. Lord, I agree. My desire, passionately, is to be what you've called me to be. That's what I'll be. I will be what you've called me to be. I'll say yes. Lord, I agree. My desire, passionately, is to be what you've called me to be. That's what I'll be. I will be what you've called me to be. I'll say yes. Lord, I agree. My desire, passionately, is to be what you've called me to be. That's what I'll be. I will be what you've called me to be. I'll say yes. Yes, Lord, I agree. My desire, passionately, is to be what you've called me to be. That's what I'll be. I will be what you've called me to be. I'll say yes. Lord, I agree. My desire, passionately, is to be what you've called me to be. That's what I'll be. What you've called me to be. I'll say yes. Lord, I agree. My desire, passionately, is to be what you've called me to be. That's what I'll be. I will be what you've called me to be. I'll say yes. Passionately is to be what you've called me to be. That's what I'll be. Called me to be. I'll say yes. Lord, I agree. My desire, passionately, is to be what you've called me to be. Thank you.
Would you pray that, Lord? Make me.
What you call me to be.
Mold me. Use me, Jesus.
I'll say yes.
Can you say yes to God tonight?
Lord, I agree. My desire passionately is to be what you called me to be. That's what I'll be.
Let's give the Lord a hand of praise tonight in His sanctuary. Hallelujah, 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 hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. You know what my prayer is? I don't want to be average. I don't want to be normal. I don't want to be dull. I want to be effective. You know what? And I want... This year we talked about upgrade and advance. That's a good start. It's a good vision. It's a good talk. But how many is ready for something to upgrade in your life? Something to advance in your life. Amen. We've been through dry valleys season. But we're thankful tonight for the power of victory that the Holy Ghost is working on us. That God's wanting to use us. Amen. God's want you to be involved in His kingdom. You are His choice. You are His people. You're the sheep of His pasture. Amen. Hallelujah. My Jesus, thank you for the word tonight. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. The greatest hour right now for us is now. Hallelujah. I don't want to hit and I don't want to miss. I want to be those that the part of those. Amen. That God uses greatly. Amen. There's tools in a toolbox that some of it I may have in my toolbox, but I don't ever use it. But I want to be the tool that God uses all the time. How about you? I believe in this church there's people God's ready to use in capacities that you've never been used before. Amen. I want to be effective. How about you? I don't want to be a hit and miss. Amen. I don't want to be a dull spark plug. Amen. But I want that glory, that fire, that effectiveness of God in my life. Amen. Praise God. Lift hands again. Let's thank the Lord for His truth. Thank you for the word. Thank you for the challenge. God, you didn't just talk to us tonight. Lord, you revealed to us tonight that there was a plan for all of us. You have a plan for our lives, Lord Jesus. A divine purpose for us. We give you thanks and we worship you, Lord Jesus. Thank you today, God. Hallelujah, 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 hallelujah. In Jesus' name, amen. Brother Franks, thank you so much for obeying the Holy Ghost tonight. Amen. Now it's our turn to obey the Holy Ghost. The man of God obeyed it. Let's obey the Holy Ghost and do what God has spoken to us individually, collectively tonight. Amen. Who can you reach to? Amen. Be one that shakes the foundation of bondage. Be that one that is effective. Let God use your life. Amen. Praise the Lord. I want to be more for Jesus. Amen. Sunday morning. Amen. Remember our service, Sunday morning service at 10. And I want you to help me, amen, by coming early at 9:30. Amen. Let's fill the front of this church around the altars, amen, with prayer before service. Remember, 10 o'clock, you're late. 9:30, service really begins for us. Somebody say church begins at 9:30. At 9:30 for the church. Our friends and guests, they come in at 10. Amen. So we want to be here early to pray. Sunday night, 6 o'clock prayer. We're looking for God to do great things in lives. Amen. I don't want to be a dead battery. I want to be charged and when people walk in that door, I want to be instrumental in helping them to make it. Amen. Praise the Lord. Let's give the Lord another hand of praise for what he spoke to us about.
Amen. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus.
Amen. Praise God. We love you. Last night was a very tremendous night at the fair. My sinuses and allergies is just, I mean, all the dust and stuff. I mean, I can't hardly breathe without coughing. But I'm thankful for the help of the Lord. God bless you. Amen. Have a great night in Jesus Christ. Help me to bring somebody to church this weekend. Amen. And let's go to heaven, how? Greet five different people, not the same group. Go to somebody and tell them, I want to be used of God with you. You're dismissed in Jesus' name. We'll do that Sunday. Yeah, he'll be here Sunday. I'll find out how he wants it.
Streets of pure gold. Someday all of heaven will be mine. Sometimes I'm ashamed. Kind of a blues. So it starts, I've held a lot of things in my own two hands. Lost them all, I confess. But everything I've ever placed in the hands of the Lord, these things I still possess. Song. Nothing left on the altar will ever be lost. Oh no, it's an old song. You just don't hear anybody sing it no more. That's a...
see these two numbers? See that says 55? Okay. Put your gas down so you can hear a little bit more. All right. So watch this. So then you got to end. Do you see where that says 31?
Yes.
Play with it.
I need to play on this again.
Yeah. So another thing you can do is slide on.